ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुर्निमित्तं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायां ददाति स्वागतम् नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रसारणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि सत्यदेशकारिणे पञ्चकौरवचनेभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च अचिकितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैताचार्य श्रीवासविगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे We have gathered on a most sacred and blessed occasion. First, we are in the midst of 12-hour continuous kirtan that began at 11 in the morning and will continue until an unspecified time after 12 hours. And in the midst of this sacred and joyous festival, we are conducting an initiation ceremony for several devotees. In Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami, he said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Ji Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The living entities are wandering within the material universe or universes. Sometimes, according to their karma, they are elevated to a higher planetary system, and sometimes, according to their karma, they are plunged into a lower status of life. And out of many millions and billions of such living entities, one who is fortunate receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. This occurrence is extremely rare and valuable if we consider how many billions and trillions and zillions of living entities there are, so many are not even in the human form of life. And those who have attained the rare human form of life, there are so many who have not gotten the association of devotees, or have not availed of the opportunity to associate with devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam states that when one's term of bondage in conditional life comes to an end, he is given the association of devotees. Now, ordinarily, one would think that the order should be reversed, that when one gains the association of devotees, his or her bondage in the material world comes to an end. But our acharyas explain that it is stated the other way to emphasize how effective the association of devotees is. That associating with devotees and finishing one's bondage in the material world occur practically simultaneously. Srila Rupa Goswami tells us ado shraddha. First comes shraddha, which means faith and attraction. Faith and attraction specifically in the messages of Krishna related to devotional service as received from pure devotees. That is the beginning. And then sadhu sangha, one associates regularly with sadhus or devotees. And after associating with them for some time, as many of you are doing, one appreciates even more the value of Krishna consciousness and the value of bhakti yoga as the means to attain the goal of pure Krishna consciousness or love for Krishna. Then one will want to come forward to take initiation. And as described in the scriptures, there is a period of mutual testing between the prospective disciple and the prospective guru. So each can be assured of the position of the other, and of the efficacy of the relationship. In olden days, gurus would have an ashram and they would personally train all of their disciples. But in more recent times, acharyas have traveled all over India and initiated disciples, and Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established a major preaching institution called the Gaudiya Math. And Srila Prabhupada, continuing the work of his spiritual master, in the spirit of his spiritual master, formed ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it was not possible for Srila Prabhupada to personally train each and every disciple, but he had his organization, temple presidents, zonal secretaries, who did that on his behalf. They would examine the prospective candidates and recommend them, and after initiation they would help guide them and engage them in service. So Srila Prabhupada's position is unique. He's the founder Acharya of ISKCON and the primary Shiksha Guru of all devotees in ISKCON. He is the person to whom his followers and succeeding generations of followers will bring their followers. There are examples in other sampradayas, Madhvacharya in the Madhva Sampradaya, and Ramanujacharya in the Sri Sampradaya, who have that position in which their followers, succeeding generations of followers, bring their followers or disciples to them, to the founder acharya of that sampradaya, Madhvacharya or Ramanujacharya. Now, it could be said that Srila Prabhupada's position in ISKCON is the same, and I would say that is true. It is the same. But some thoughtful devotees have considered whether we could say that it is true even beyond this time. And that is a deep question that could be considered and discussed. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes the Chaitanya tree. The Chaitanya tree is a metaphor for all of the devotees who are connected to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the root of the tree. He's the gardener who tends the tree. In a sense, he's everything. And the tree has certain major trunks, like Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Prabhu Gadadhar, Pandit, And then there are limbs. And the limb of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami there, seen together, is described as the best of all. And why? Śrīla Kṛṣṇadāsa Kaviraj Goswami says, he mentions a few things. One is that they trained a large number of disciples and established temples, holy places of worship. And it's specifically mentioned more than once that they delivered people in Paschim Desh, that means the Western countries. That refers to the Western region of India. There's another statement that beginning with Mayapur, as you go west, the people become more and more fallen. So the significance of Rupa Sanatan delivering people in Paschim Desh is that those people were considered more fallen. And therefore, their service in delivering them was considered the best. And therefore, of all of the limbs or branches of the Chaitanya tree, they were considered the best or the greatest. Continuing the same logic, Srila Prabhupada went even beyond Western India, way beyond Western India, I might say, across the ocean to New York City, San Francisco, and eventually to practically every continent on the planet. So what must be the potency of someone who could deliver people, not just Paschim Desh, meaning Maharashtra and Gujarat, but Paschim Desh, meaning England, Germany, America, Japan, and Africa, Australia. So Srila Prabhupada, the idea of this discussion is that within ISKCON there is no question. Srila Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya. He is the person who is delivering all of us. But by this analysis, one could conclude that even in terms of the Chaitanya tree in general, he is a branch or a limb, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, who are considered the biggest or the best of all. This is not a matter of pride. In fact, there is a statement in Shastra that one should keep one's guru hidden. The purport to the statement is that if one advertises his or her guru, he can or she can fall into the trap of pride, false prestige. Oh, I'm a disciple of so-and-so. He's a big guru or a good guru, and I'm his disciple, so I'm also big. I'm also special. Now, we don't necessarily follow that injunction strictly, but we should try to adopt the humble mood that the injunction is supposed to safeguard. It may be similar to the injunction that one should not disclose one's rut, kartik rut, other rut. Otherwise, one could become proud. Oh, you're chanting so many rounds, oh, you're doing so much austerity. And then you become proud, and then everything goes to hell. The whole purpose is defeated. So, we are not Srila Prabhupada's followers, disciples or grand disciples, because we are great, because we have done anything great. But we are simply the recipients of extremely powerful causeless mercy. Of course, it is to our credit that we have come to the Association of Devotees and stayed in the Association of Devotees. That much we have done, and we should continue. But what we're really doing is just putting ourselves in a position where we can receive that mercy. And of course, whatever instructions we receive, it is our duty to try our best to execute them. I was recently reading a book that had a number of quotations from His Holiness Gauravinda Swami Maharaj. And in one statement, he said very emphatically that we cannot make any advancement by our efforts. Whatever advancement we make is only by mercy. Anyone who sincerely tries to chant the holy name with attention and full absorption knows that it is only by mercy that we can have any taste for the holy name and any focus. Even devotees who distribute books or in any way take risks and do things beyond their normal capacity, experience, that it's only by mercy that they are able to be successful. So one devotee asked His Holiness Gauravinda Swami Maharaj that if everything depends on mercy, why do we even perform all the austerities that we perform and make all the efforts that we make. And Maharaj replied, because we have been ordered to do so. So it is our duty. We must do our duty. But our actual advancement does not come from our efforts. It comes from mercy. So we are here by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We are continuing to whatever extent by Prabhupada's mercy. And we will continue only by Prabhupada's mercy. But that is not to deny the role of his servants who are extending his mercy. But it is just to call attention to the fact of his special position and extraordinarily powerful mercy. So, by great fortune, a living Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, a living entity, gets the association of devotees and develops some faith and attraction for the messages of Krishna, and then comes forward to take initiation. That stage is called Bhajana Kriya. One comes forward to take initiation and systematically pursue the process of purification. That you could say is a nishtita bhajana kriya. One is engaging in devotional service, but one is not completely steady. And that lack of steadiness can be in terms of one's bodily activities. One would hope that one would keep one's body engaged in devotional service, but Kali Yuga is so strong, we're so weak. Even with our bodies, we don't always stay engaged. There's the internet, so many things. And then our words. We may keep our body engaged, but what comes out of our mouth? We may be cutting vegetables in the kitchen for Krishna, but what comes out of our mouth while we're cutting in the kitchen? It may not be favorable to devotional service. And then the mind. We may be sitting in kirtan with our bodies. We may be enunciating the holy name with our faculty of speech, but our mind is wandering. That is very difficult. So these are different types of anishtika, or unsteadiness. And the stage that one must go through to become more steady is called anartha nivritti. Anartha means unwanted things.
And nivritti means eradication or destruction. And the main process for anartha nivritti is offenseless chanting of the holy names. And we will be hearing more about the 10 offenses from His Holiness Rupchandra Swami. But one of the offenses, called pramadaha, or inattention, is considered very crucial, most crucial. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if one can overcome the offense of chanting inattentively, he can destroy all the other offenses. But if he chants inattentively, then the other, which is an offense, and the other offenses are given a chance to flourish. And the constant endeavor to chant with attention, without offense, defines the clearing stage of a devotional service, or the clearing stage of chanting. By that chanting, one's anarthas will be destroyed. And then one will be steady, and then this further stages come easily. But that stage of anartha nivritti is very troublesome, difficult, but it certainly can be faced with attentive chanting and associating with pure devotees. In the association of pure devotees, everything becomes easier. And it's Krishna gives us so many facilities. The holy dhams, Sri Vrindavan dham, Sri Mayapur dham. So by these efforts, Hare Krishna. That now there's no.
That wasn't it.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Work.
Yeah, it did work. So that harsh sounds, screeching sound, it's like an anartha. You're sitting peacefully discussing Krishna, and suddenly there's this harsh screeching sound.
and our minds are distracted, but we chanted the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And it stopped. So this is a lesson for us, a practical demonstration that if we chant, supporting each other with full enthusiasm and heart, these anarthas will disappear, and we can proceed very peacefully and relatively smoothly in the Krishna consciousness. So, the initiation is significant because it indicates the acceptance of the disciple by the spiritual master and the acceptance of the spiritual master by the disciple. Although Srila Prabhupada offered his mercy freely to everyone, but he did not initiate everyone. One had to be recommended. Somehow one had to consciously, deliberately accept Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada consciously and deliberately accepted his disciples. And that function is being extended through parampara. It is a very major step and a significant act both on the part of the disciple and the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master accepts a disciple, it means that Krishna has accepted him or her. So it's a very big deal. And that is taking place for some individuals at this very moment. As the process of initiation has been developed in Kali Yuga, there are two stages of it. One is what Prabhupada called the first initiation into the chanting of the holy name, Harinam. And the other is the second initiation, or initiation into the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra, or Diksha. It is said in Shastra, Diksha Kale, that at the time of initiation, Krishna accepts the disciple to be as good as himself. What does that mean? It means that to serve Brahman, Krishna is the supreme Brahman, one must be Brahman. To enter fire, one must be fire. So but it doesn't mean that you've fully reached that stage, but you've reached a point in the development of that quality. and you have a chance to continue further. You're given a chance to serve the deity. How could you serve the deity if there is no purification? Because Krishna is the supreme pure. So a number of devotees today have just received yesterday or will receive today the mantras for second initiation. They're being initiated as Brahmins, and the first two qualities of Brahmins are Satyam and Socham. Who knows what Satyam means? Truthfulness. And what is the supreme truth?
Krishna.
Being truthful means speaking about Krishna or things in relation to Krishna, seeing their relationship with Krishna. And socham means cleanliness. And cleanliness is of two kinds. External means we keep our bodies clean, our clothes clean, everything clean externally by washing. And we keep clean internally by chanting and hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna's devotees, and especially chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare!
Last year, when we had a festival over the Memorial Day weekend with His Holiness Indradumya Swami Maharaj, he gave the example of spring cleaning. During the winter, it's hard to really clean the house because it's cold outside. So you have to keep the doors closed, except the minimum. You keep the windows closed. So a lot of dust accumulates inside the house. So he said, in the same way, because we're in the contaminated atmosphere of the material world, in Kali Yuga, dust tends to settle in our hearts. And these festivals, and we're in the midst of one now, today's 12-hour kirtan, and we always have festivals, and there's going to be another one over the Memorial Day Sadhu Sangha retreat. Boston. So Maharaj said, these festivals are like spring cleaning. You open up all the doors, all the windows, you take all the stuff out of the house, get rid of the stuff that's accumulated over the winter that you don't want to hold on to, and you just clean, you just hose down everything and just flush out all the dirt and dust. And this is like, it's like a special opportunity. So he was appealing to all the devotees to take full advantage of this, of the kirtan festival, to really chant and dance and give themselves fully to that process of cleansing. So, Srila Prabhupada and his followers, of course, it's all by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, all the devotees of Mahaprabhu. But in an immediate sense, they've given us every facility. We are not lacking in any facility whatsoever. So we just have to take full advantage and throw ourselves into the process with intensity. We don't hold back.